Harbour Hustle, where we dig under the surface of companies that serve Harbour District and the surrounding towns and villages to find out more about the people behind the company. Are you ready? Let the story begin. Hello, I'm your podcast host, Martin Robson. Harbour Hustle proudly sponsors local charities. Check us out on marketharbourbiznetwork.co.uk, where you can find a transcript of today's podcast, all the links that are mentioned, posts you can share on social media to spread the word, and everything you need to know if you'd like to help our local charities. Find out more about our lovely sponsors. Today, I'm going to be speaking to Jen from Fuzzy Flamingo. But just before we get into that, let's hear from our lovely sponsor. Hey, it's 2024. Is your website really pulling its weight when it comes to helping you compete in today's market? Have a chat with me, Martin from Rowan Britons, to find out how you could use the latest technology and psychology to get ahead. All in plain English. Don't delay. Call to that. Welcome to this episode of Harbour Hustle, where I'm delighted to be chatting with Jen from Fuzzy Flamingo. Hiya, Jen.
Hello, how are you?
I am not too bad at all. I have no small children with illnesses and things like that. How are you?
Unfortunately, I do have small children who have been very ill, but they're back at school, so much better.
Oh, fantastic. It's always one of those things, isn't it? We talk about being a small business and running our stuff, but at the end of the day, you know, you've got to put your family first and make sure that that's all sorted and run a business at the same time.
Absolutely. It's lovely to have the flexibility, but it does come down to me to be able to drop everything to be with them. So I'm very fortunate to have understanding clients.
Fantastic. We like those. Yes. They're not all like that, but we like the ones that are. If you're listening, clients, take note. All right. So first thing I'd just like to ask for those people who've not met you before, just tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and what do you like doing besides work?
Of course. So I am the owner of Fuzzy Flamingo, which is a book publishing company. I specialise in helping authors to self-publish beautiful books with editing, design and publishing services. And my aim with Fuzzy Flamingo is to make publishing more transparent, less intimidating and more accessible. Outside of work, there's loads of things I love to do. I love getting out in the fresh air. I've got a small dog and we love to walk him. I love spending time with my family and generally just having a good time.
Fantastic. Having a good time. What a brilliant hobby.
Absolutely.
So I know from having done quite a number of these podcasts that the one burning question that our listeners will have is, what's the dog's name?
Doug. He's Doug the Shug. He's a Shih Tzu cross with a pug. So he's basically a hairy pug and he's very cute.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. If I angle my camera down, you should be able to see him asleep on his little bed.
Oh my goodness.
He spends most of his day asleep.
So for anybody who's just listening to the audio version of this podcast, then Doug the Shug was down on the floor there, sleeping away quite happily. He is really enthralled by the podcast. He's just enjoying it so much.
Yeah.
Now, again, also for people on the audio, they won't be able to see what's behind you and indeed what you're wearing. The people who are watching this on YouTube might just have a clue what your company is called. So could you just describe some of the things that I can see on my camera now?
Yes, of course. Basically, a flood of flamingos, or a flamboyance of flamingos, as the group noun is, which
isn't
I
it?
Absolutely love. Yeah, it's called a wow. Flamboyance. How perfect is that?
Yeah.
I have a giant flamingo behind me, which was given to me by my brother. When it arrived in a very funny shaped package, my husband looked at it and thought, what is that? But I love it. And I get gifted lots of lovely things. I have a ban placed on me by my husband for buying any more flamingo things myself, but it doesn't stop my authors and my family and friends buying things for me. So yes, and I'm also wearing a flamingo print dress, which is a Popsy, which is another small business which I adore. So I have several flamingo print dresses and jumpsuits and what have you, because I love it.
Fantastic. Shout out to Popsy. I mean, I happen to know also that I think you have branded Doc Martens as well, if I remember.
Yes, so I have pink fluffy Doc Martens, which usually cause a stir when I wear them. I love them. They are very warm, though.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, we could definitely say that we don't miss you when you're in a room.
Absolutely. Pink hair as well. That is quite common for me to have pink hair.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yep. I should have mentioned that. Well, OK, anybody who's still on the audio podcast and hasn't immediately flipped over to YouTube, you got an idea of what you're missing. So anyhow, let's get back to the book publishing. That's a really interesting thing because obviously years ago, I mean, that was almost a monopoly. Certainly one could call it a cartel. There were a limited number of very major players in the business.
Yes.
So how did you get started in doing it yourself?
I started off in the publishing industry in 2010. It was pretty much an accidental career because it wasn't the career that I'd intended for myself. So my whole life, I wanted to join the police with the view of becoming a super duper detective solving crimes. All through my childhood, all through adolescence and university, that was my aim. And then I took a gap year after finishing university and before applying when I was diagnosed with autoimmune arthritis. I've got a couple of forms, ankylosing spondylitis and psoriatic arthritis, which is a bit of a mouthful. But when it came to apply, when I got back from my gap year, they wouldn't let me get past the first screen. And I didn't have a plan B, so it suddenly had to rethink all of my options, all of my skills, my qualifications and my experience with the work I'd done to that point. And it was my mum who found a job in the paper for a publishing house where I'd be starting right at the bottom in the warehouse, picking and packing books and doing admin for the different departments. So the production department, the marketing department. And I worked my way up through the production side of things because I absolutely loved the making of books. Just bringing someone's story to life just fills me with joy. And it turned out it was a great move and I absolutely loved it. But the problem I had was that with my autoimmune conditions, I'm on immunosuppressants to treat it. And being in an open plan office with people whose germs don't affect them in the same way that they affect me, it meant I was off sick more than I'd want to be. And when I was the group production manager looking after the teams across all of the imprints, it was a challenge because it was a cycle of stressing about getting ill if someone was ill in the office, being off sick and then catching up and having the whole circle start again. So when I had my first child in 2016, I recovered my health and I got on top of managing it really well. And it became apparent that actually being at home away from the bugs was going to serve me right. So I started off with freelancing for publishers. And then I had a few self-publishing authors who came to me for my services. And I loved it so much that I decided to steer my business more in that direction. And actually, I'm one of those businesses where the pandemic actually helped because lots of people started writing their books. The publishers that I was freelancing for were taking freelancing back in-house or they were going into administration because the publishing industry as a whole really struggled, whereas the self-publishing industry was thriving. So that's how I ended up specialising in what I do and I haven't looked back. I love it.
Wow, what an incredible story and amazing, you know, when I guess you were relatively young in life to be diagnosed with different autoimmune conditions.
Yes. Yeah, I just turned 23, so at the very beginning of my career.
Right. But you've managed to turn, you know, into an extremely successful businesswoman. And we are recording very close to International Women's Day.
Yes.
You know, obviously, if people are listening to this, it's a little bit later now, but we're recording it very close to International Women's Day. And I happen to know that you are not only a woman, you see how incredibly astute I am, but an award-winning woman at that.
Could you
tell us a little bit about some of the awards that you've won?
Yes, the most recent one I will be celebrating on International Women's Day at the House of Lords. It's the F Entrepreneur ISO 100. So they've chosen 100 of the top UK female entrepreneurs, and we're going to be celebrating together at the House of Lords, which seems huge, and it's very exciting. And I've had a lot of press coverage, and it's done a lot for my business getting that accolade, and it comes under the umbrella of Small Business Britain, who, if you own a small business, I would highly recommend looking into them, because they have so many free resources and a lot of support that they've been invaluable in the last few years, certainly. So it's come from them, and it feels great to have won it. And in the past, I've also won a few other things. I won a Mums in Business award for my Instagram page when I'd first started the publishing side of things, and that was huge for me, because I didn't even have an Instagram page before I started my business. It was purely for business that I started it, so I had to learn completely from scratch, and I've built it up, so I now have over 2,000 followers in a really tight-knit community who were really supportive, and so it was lovely to be able to celebrate that.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing, Jen. And, you know, just take a minute to reflect on that, dear listener. I mean, that's the top 100 entrepreneurs in Britain.
Yes.
Think about that. That's amazing. And kind of, I don't know, a little bit ironic, it's still called the House of Lords, really, because there are obviously many ladies in there.
Yeah.
Perhaps they should be updating that name, but. Anyway, that's another discussion, I suspect. But many, many congratulations. That's
absolutely fantastic.
Thinking back to the book publishing then, is there something that you think that people don't think enough about when they're starting down that, I've got a book inside me. What should I be thinking about, other than, you know, whatever the story of the book is?
Yes, absolutely. It's... The thing I have most when authors come to me is that they don't really have any idea about the publishing industry and how it works, which is understandable. Why would you, if you've never had anything to do with the publishing side of things? So the reason I want to make publishing more accessible and more transparent is because there's so much information out there. When you first start looking into it, it can be totally overwhelming. And I have a lot of authors who have not done anything with their book idea, or even with their book once it's written, because they just don't know which way to turn. So I want to show that there's lots of different options to getting to your target reader. So there are the big publishers with the traditional publishing side. With some books, it's really the best option for them. But with a lot of books, especially for first-time authors, it's not very accessible. Their idea may well be better suited to self-publishing. And even within self-publishing, there are a lot of options. So that's what I talk about on social media, is trying to demystify the different routes to being published and to remove the stigma. Being self-published isn't a vanity thing anymore. It's not just a case of putting your Word document up on a platform and hoping people buy it. If you want people to buy your book, it needs to be good enough quality. So it needs to be professionally designed, professionally edited. You need to market it well, because you need readers to enjoy your book so much that they then start telling other people, and then it goes from there, because recommendations, word of mouth and reviews are the best sales pitch for your book.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. And just for clarity, are we talking just fiction, or is it both fiction and non-fiction?
Fiction and non-fiction, and children's books as well. I was very lucky to work for a publishing house that had lots of different imprints, so I got to work on all the different genres and have a very broad background. And I also love variety, so it keeps me engaged. I think I probably get bored easily, so being able to do lots of different things is just magic for me.
Yeah, definitely. Is there something you think that you wish you'd known earlier in your journey, in the book publishing journey anyway, that might have made things a bit easier for you now? Maybe, you know, a note to a younger Jen?
Absolutely. I think if I'd have known that I would actually be running a business when I started, then I would have started things differently, because I went into this almost pushed into it because of my disability, my chronic illness, it was really the option I needed to take for my health. But I just thought I would be freelancing for publishers until the kids went to school and I could get a proper job, in inverted commas. But the fact that it was so much better for my health, and I'm so much more in control of my work, life and health balance, because for me, it's the three things combined. And my business took off, and it made me realise that, no, I don't want to go back to employment. This is what I need to do. And I kind of had to retrospectively engineer the business side of things, because it then needed to be much more viable and much more sustainable. So it's been a challenge to make it this far, whereas I think if I'd have been a bit more prepared in the first place, then it would have been happening a lot quicker.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. And you know, we hear that again and again with entrepreneurs, and you know, myself included, where you know, you kind of go into business because you've got a passion for whatever business it is. But there's no getting away from, there are certain other things that have to happen if you want to continue it as a business.
Yes.
And those things, you know, the things that, again, if you can get that right from the word go or close to, it just makes life a bit easier.
Absolutely. There are so many tools out there as well, and it's just knowing where to look. So being in networks, networking is invaluable. A lot of the time it's to do with building up you and your business, not necessarily to get sales or leads. It's to do with helping you to run a better business. And those contacts are brilliant for signposting you in the right direction.
I think that's a really good point about networks. I mean, obviously we met through the Market Harbor Business Network. And like you say, occasionally you get people come and just all they want to do is sell what they've got. But really the key point is just getting to know, you know, what other businesses are out there, what services are there, how you can help them. And then in return, of course, you know, maybe somebody else will be able to help you, and that whole business karma thing.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Did you have any mentor at any part of your journey, or anyone, you know, that kind of took you under your wing?
I have been really lucky in the people I've been surrounded with. So I have worked with a few different coaches for different aspects of my business. There's a coach in Leicestershire called Kerry Hearsey, who is a hybrid life and business coach, and she came into my life at just the right moment, and I worked with her for quite a long time, and she made huge changes in my business to make it easier for me to run and less stressful and more enjoyable, which at the time it was getting a bit on top of me. So that was absolutely brilliant. But I've also worked on a lot of coaching books and worked with a lot of coaches. I have quite a few businesses come and do business books with me. So I get to learn what's up and coming and all of these new techniques, and I get paid to do it. So it's been brilliant. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I suppose there's a slight parallel, you know, with myself doing on the web design front. Again, you get to work with lots of different businesses, and inevitably you start to learn a little bit more about each bit. And yeah, that's that variety thing again, isn't it, that we talked about?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, there was Kerry from back a little while. Now, currently, anybody in particular that you admire? And if so, why?
There are lots of people. I mean, I'm a huge lover of reading self-help books and reading personal development books. And actually, personal development is something I'm really passionate about, because it's not something I'd come across until I started a business. And I think they should be teaching it in schools. So a lot of the tools I'm learning, I'm passing on to my kids and building up their self-esteem, and trying to get them to really find their passions and beliefs and follow those. So I think really it's hard to pick just one. There are so many really good speakers out there who are doing marvelous things at the moment. So it's a case of reading wide and reading well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's interesting you say about the teaching at school. I have a friend who's done a TEDx talk, and that was all about what we're teaching in school, you know, and how it's kind of geared towards 100 years ago, where everybody was in mainstream employment. And now, you know, with much more entrepreneurship, the set of skills that are actually going to do our youth well are different to what they used to be 100 years ago, oddly yeah. enough. And perhaps, you know, we need to shift in school.
I think so.
That's yet another conversation we could delve into, but we don't have time at the moment. So, I mean, normally ask people, is there something else that you still want to learn? Quite clearly, you are a keen learner.
I am, yes. If my most recent thing is I was invited to become a mentor. So that's my next training opportunity, is I'm going to be trained to be a mentor. The company I'm doing it with, I will be mentoring a care leaver, so someone of 17 or 18 who is just leaving the care system and embarking on adult life in the big wide world. So I will be passing on the skills I've learned, but being trained how to do that as well. Something I'm really passionate about is inspiring the younger generation and helping them to get where they want to be. So it's a very exciting opportunity.
Fabulous. Oh, I wish you the best of luck with that. It sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
What would you say was one of the biggest mistakes you've made in business? What did you learn from it?
I've made a lot of mistakes in my time. I think anyone who runs a business will do that. The biggest mistake I would say was saying yes to too many things early on, because I didn't really, it just felt really great to be offered what I was being offered. And so I was saying yes to absolutely everything, and not everything served me well. But in hindsight, I learned from that. So I suppose it did in the grand scheme of things. But what I've learned is that I need to say no when it serves me better. So it might not just be complete no, it might be not yet, but I need to say yes to the things that are going to move my business forward, but are also going to look after me mentally, because my mental health and my physical health are inextricably linked. If my mental health takes a dip, then my arthritis goes mad and vice versa. So I need to be at the top of my priority list if my business is going to run well, because without me it doesn't run. It's just me and my business, so it needs to have me at the top of the pile. So yes, being more choosy, I think, would be the thing. Yeah, I've learned.
I think it's a really good point, and the thing is, I mean, not only, as you say, it's essential that you're well and able to run your business because you are your business, but when you're saying yes to clients and you're not quite right, they don't get the best version of you. So they lose out as well. So it's actually in their advantage for you to go no or not yet,
yes.
Which at the time, you know, not everybody realizes, but, you know, later on it's kind of, okay, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's the thing I found most challenging, because I am a people pleaser at heart, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. A lot of people say it's terrible to be a people pleaser, but if it's in the right way, having a big heart and wanting to do right by other people is great. It just can't be at the detriment to your health. So that is what I've reprioritized.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So we talked about biggest mistake. Let's flip it 180. What about your proudest business moment?
I think I've had so many proud moments. I'm really lucky to have worked with amazing authors and to have built the business I have. But I think it's probably what we talked about earlier, going to the House of Lords on International Women's Day to celebrate in a room full of really vibrant people. We're in a Facebook group together, and just seeing the incredible businesses run by these amazing people, it feels like a huge privilege to be part of that. So I'm really excited to meet them all in person.
Fantastic. I'm just so looking forward to meeting you again, you know, after this recording and after International Women's Day, just to see how it went, because I can see how excited and pumped you are for this.
Yes.
So it's going to be brilliant to see how it was, and kind of really interesting as well, because like a lot of people, I've never been to the House of Lords. I've certainly never been in the situation in which you're going. So yeah, it's going to be amazing.
It's actually my second time, so I've already been to a celebration at the House of Lords for something else that I won. So yeah, I think that's why I'm even more pumped this time, because I know what to expect. So there's less of the anxiety of the unknown and more of the excitement that I know is going to be amazing.
Oh, that's great. You know, one of the things that we do, which I confess we stole from Stephen Bartlett's Diary of a CEO, is asking our guests to think of a question for a subsequent guest. And when we're off air, I'm going to be asking you to do that. The question that you've got is from Becky Whitaker. Mm-hmm. And she wants to know, can you describe one habit that has changed your business?
Oh, that's a great question. Because habits is something that I've actually been researching a lot recently. It was in one of the business books that I worked on. They talked about habits, and there are some really great self-help books at the moment about forming good habits. I think my best habit recently is really limiting my time on social media and my emails. So screen time, which is necessary for my business. I do my own marketing, so it has to be done well, and it has to be done. But actually, making it more focused makes it better. So I don't post as frequently. I don't feel like I have to post every single day anymore. But what I do post has to be good. So it's probably 3 times a week in general that I post on social media. But it means that I can spend more time on my business instead of in it. And it's not my favorite thing. So making that a habit of it, only allotting certain time periods in my week to doing that and not just doing it all day.
And that's a lot harder than it sounds.
It really is, especially when you start to get comments on your posts and it's doing well. You want to start checking back all the time and having a look, picking your phone up every hour. But actually, just having allotted times in the day, or even just certain days of the week, it just makes me so much more productive.
One of our previous guests, Mel, who's a process improvement specialist, talks about a similar sort of thing, you know, allotting times for specific things. Still something I need to improve on personally. There we go.
Yes. Don't we all? I have a great spreadsheet for my time blockings, because I have to time block, otherwise I just get carried away. But sometimes it runs away with you. You just have to not punish yourself, reset and keep going.
Very great advice there. Yeah. So if you weren't in the book publishing industry, what's another career that you might have done or may still do in the future? Who knows?
Yeah, it was. So I spoke at the beginning that becoming a police detective was always what I wanted to do. And actually, having met a lot of people who've gone through that career and are doing what I wanted to do, I probably don't think it's for me. So actually, it probably did me a favor that I couldn't go into that. The other love in my life is something that I've not done in so long, because I did A-level theatre studies and I did drama for GCSE, because I was pretty much forced into it. I wanted to do pottery for GCSE for one of my choices, and I got hauled into the middle school head teacher's office because only 2 people wanted to do pottery and they couldn't run it. Despite my protestations, they couldn't run it with just 2 people. So he gently forced me into doing drama instead, because he said it would do me good. I was a bit of a wallflower. You wouldn't really believe it now, but I was a bit of a wallflower. So probably going into acting would be that secret little desire in there somewhere. It's the I have such admiration for the people who just go for it, because it's such an unstable business that I don't think I'd deal with the anxiety very well, but it's still there.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think it's that there's a couple of, again, interesting lessons in that one, you know, having always thought this is what I want to do. And then, you know, later on in life, meeting a number of people who've done it and then rethinking, yeah, maybe actually I don't want to do it anymore. That in itself is quite valuable. But I think it's nice to kind of hold on to, yeah, there's something I'd like to do.
Yeah, well, I did a talk to a youth club about not having a plan B, because I wanted to talk about why you should definitely follow your dreams, have big dreams, follow them. But if they don't work out, it's not necessarily the end of the world, even though it can feel like it at the time. So I've obviously had a wonderful outcome from something that was pretty horrible to go through. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to look for it sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of it's about, I mean, obviously opportunities are important, being in the right time, the right place, sliding doors, all those sort of things. But I really do believe attitude is key to all of that. You know, it's not just other opportunities, but do you actually, you know, take the dangerous step of taking advantage of those, or just let them go? So there we go. Anything left that you'd like to achieve? That sounds so final, doesn't it?
It does. It's like accepting a lifetime achievement award. I'm definitely not finished yet. I want to disrupt the industry, basically. I want to, publishing is pretty elitist. The big boys paying are just that. The heads of the big publishing company are usually middle-aged white males. Bonnier Books is the exception, and I love looking at their business because they're doing really good things for diversity and inclusion, and that's something that I'm really passionate about. So yeah, lots I want to do. I want to help people and to give the voice to the people who don't necessarily feel like they have it.
Fantastic. And having seen what you've achieved so far, I think, you know, there's a fairly reasonable bet that you'll get there, and they're lucky to have you on their side, I think.
Thank you.
Any hidden talents that you know nobody else knows about that you suddenly want to share with the world, or at least this podcast audience?
Hidden talents. I said to you before we started recording, I'm a pretty open book, so there's not really anything that's hidden, because I tend to just tell everybody everything. The thing I probably keep inside the most is just how passionate I am about animals, and freaky animals in particular. So obviously flamingos are very much part of my business, but I do have a passion for the more unusual animals and love to tell people about them. So in particular, naked mole rats are one of my favorites. I have a card with a picture of one, and if you go and have a look at what they look like, you'll be surprised that I think they're beautiful. Nobody else does. And axolotls, and all the things that are unusual, a little bit bizarre. I got obsessed with sea cucumbers when I was about 7 years old. Learned everything there was to know about sea cucumbers. So I can just tell you random facts about freaky animals, and I think that surprises people sometimes.
Well, I mean, you say it surprises people, but actually, I mean, we've been going for 12 or 13 episodes now, and you'll be amazed to know that every single episode so far, people have mentioned naked mole rats.
Brilliant. My work here is done.
I could have published this on the 1st of April now, haven't I, really, with a statement like that.
I love it.
Anyway, that's amazing. I mean, I've written it down. I will go and have a look. They sound fascinating.
Yeah. I can't say on air what they look like. You'll have to go and look for yourself.
Yep, I will. As our regular listeners know, I mean, we're always going to publish the links and any particular things you need to know on the website from this podcast. If I find something interesting on naked mole rats, then I'll publish that as well, along with, of course, Small Business Britain, Kerry Hersey, and the other nice things that you've mentioned. Talking about that, where do we find you online, social media, website, and so on?
Yes, my website is fuzzyflamingo.co.uk. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook with Fuzzy Flamingo Design. And I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter as well. I'm Flamingo Fuzzy on Twitter, and Jen Parker, Fuzzy Flamingo on LinkedIn.
Brilliant. Okay. And X for the modern people. But Twitter for the rest of it.
I can't call it that. Who is calling it that, really?
I know.
Anyway. That's a branding story for another day, isn't it?
Absolutely. Jen, it's been amazing. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't?
Oh, I don't think so. I think we've pretty much covered all the bases. I realised one thing I didn't talk about was my own book. So Unflip, Changing Your Life After a Life-Changing Diagnosis is my book. I can show you for you, mm-hmm. YouTube people. And it has given me a lot more empathy with my authors about publishing, because it is terrifying, but I'm here to say that it's worth it. So I hold my author's hands throughout the whole process, because I totally understand what it's like. But I also know the benefits that come with it. So go for it.
Fantastic. And can you just repeat that title for us one more time?
Yes, it's Unflip, Changing Your Life After a Life-Changing Diagnosis. It's about my diagnosis whilst travelling the world with autoimmune conditions, and what I've done and achieved, and how I improved my life since.
Amazing. Fantastic. Let me just talk directly to our listener then. Jen, fantastic to meet you. Listener, show some love for Jen by checking out all of the show notes. All the links to her website, the socials. You can also check all those details on marketharborabiznetwork.co.uk/podcast. Even better, join in, leave a comment, questions, suggestions. We appreciate how we can make this podcast even better for you. And hey, if you'd like to be a guest, then get in touch. Again, you can do that on the website. And also, if you'd like to be a sponsor and, you know, get your business featured for a few weeks, then get in touch and find out more about that. You've been listening to Harborough Hustle. Jen, it's been both a pleasure and quite frankly an inspiration talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been brilliant.
Hey, it's 2024. Is your website really pulling its weight when it comes to helping you compete in today's market? Have a chat with me, Martin, from Rowan Britons, to find out how you could use the latest technology and psychology to get ahead. All in plain English. Don't delay, call today. You've been enjoying the Harborough Hustle, inspiring talks with local entrepreneurs. Please take a few seconds for whichever platform you're on, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever, to give us a thumbs up, a five-star review or a like, and please subscribe so that we know you're out there and so that you get to know about future shows. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, please pop over to marketharborabiznetwork.co.uk/podcast for all the details, where you'll also find a summary of today's show, a transcript, some goodies, and all the links mentioned today.